so let's get started. Okay, so we started the sugya, if I recall correctly, we started the sugya of Kavish Kumavushal. There's one si'if in Shulchan Aruch about Kavish Kumavushal, and that is Siman Kuf Hei Si'if Aleph, and we went through most of it last time, I think. Did we discuss what kind of liquid is... No, we didn't. We didn't get to that. But we went through the three basic shitas about the shear of Kavish Kumavushal, whether it's 24 hours, there was even such a shita that it's 12 hours, or whether it's... Yeah?
We quoted that the reverse says coverage of 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 12 or Yom, like it says Yom Vilayla? Is that the same sheet or is it somewhere else?
Yom Vilayla is the Lashon?
So.
That would mean 24 hours.
That's how Bezos means it. Is it not brought down?
I have in my notes the Prima Gadim and Simon Sadi Gimel. Let's take a look. Simon Sadi Gimel, Sif Se Das, Sif Katan Vav. Let's see. Because that would change everything. Prima Gadim. Sif Se Das. Here we are. No, he does. Not at the very end. The Efshar, the Ria Lava, and the Me'is La'is Sober have a Kavish. Hamasorus Biadenu, Ria Lava, and Hu Ri Habachur, Ria Bachur, Hu Riva. Rush Kasav B'Shem Riva to cover who be Yud Beis Shaos. Yeah, he has such a lashon. Yud Beis Shaos.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's from a Ria Lavan who he's saying is the Riva. V'Raya Da Amar Tari Lekuliyam Asam Yud Beis Shaos. Yeah, and he says that Raya that we said the other day.
Is he quoting
Mordechai still? When he says that, did you look? Oh, meaning you looked up the. He's quoting from the Mordechai, but then he's not quoting from the Mordechai. He's questioning the Mordechai. He's questioning the Mordechai, and he says, "Oh, v'chitema b'shem ri alavan kasav kena Mordechai." That the Mordechai, meaning he has a steer in the Mordechai. Is it 3 days or is it 8 days? So maybe he's only quoting from the Ria Lavan. Hamasaris Biadenu, that the Ria Lavan is the Riva, and the Riva holds your base shows. That's what he says. Right? Meaning he says it can't be that the answer to the steer in the Mordechai is that the Mordechai is only quoting from the Ria Lavan in one place, but the Mordechai really holds 72 hours, because the Ria Lavan is the Riva, and the Riva really holds 12 hours.
Where's the Russian?
From the Rush.
This is a Rush custom machine because the country of the show.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Rivad and the Rush board.
Right. Okay. I don't know. But maybe, yeah. So that's. I guess that's why all the Sorum point to that Prima Gadim and not to any Rishonim. Because the Prima Gadim is shame the Rishonim says that way. So it's on the books, but I don't know. I don't know if we can track it down. Okay, good. Okay, next issue in terms of Kavish Kumavushal is what kind of liquid would be subject to Kavish. So the Rush points out that the Gemara seems to assume that even milk can accomplish kavush. I mean, because remember, what did we say? What was the whole raya about kavush? Was that itarli kuliyama, that when it comes to basa b'chalav, the chidush of basa b'chalav, says the Gemara in Pesachim, is that if you soak it all day, it's not going to be aser hamashma, that in shari sunim, it's going to be aser itarli kuliyama. But what are you soaking? It's in milk. So apparently milk isn't, meaning it's in a benign, non-charif, non-sharp, non-strong beverage, and that's there's nothing like softer than milk. There's nothing that's less, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, less flavorful, less impactful.
Dull.
What? then there's nothing more dull than milk, more vanilla than milk, right? So even something like that is going to create a sense of kavush, which means that Gemara in Pesachim really taught us several chidushim, right? It taught us that kavush kumvushal is daraisa, meaning it's a raya that kavush kumvushal is daraisa, because the Gemara was saying that the chidush of basa b'cholav on a daraisa level is that we don't say kavush kumvushal, which implies everywhere else we do say kavush kumvushal. It taught us that it only takes 24 hours, or maybe according to the Riva, that may or may not exist, 12 hours, right? Because the Itaru Kula Yoma, so Kula Yoma, we said, is 24 hours or 12 hours, and it teaches us that it applies to all liquids, even the most benign of all liquids. Is that a good word? Is that not the right word to use? Benign? I don't know. You know what I'm saying, right? So I feel like my brain is going, like my vocabulary has gotten worse. I find myself now, I don't know, I attribute it to like after effects of COVID 6 months ago, that my brain has gotten, they say it goes to the brain, so that's I shouldn't joke about that, but like, I don't know, I really feel it. Yeah?
Yeah, but why
do
we even need to mention milk if you're giving two, the Piskei Tshuva says two exceptions, and one of his exceptions was body and water. You don't even need milk, forget about milk. The most.
Yeah, but that was in Piskei Tshuva. Here you have a Gemara, meaning we're trying to figure out what, you know. So, I mean, Piskei Tshuva is already working with that assumption, and this is his Raya. So this is a much earlier stage in the assessment of things. Now, Beis Yosef ever quotes a Mordechai, who quotes a Rush that says, Ki amrinun kavash harayu kumvushal, hani mili bekavash bechometz v'tzir kidepirush Rashi. That it's in chometz and seer only. So seer is like fish brine, and chometz is vinegar. So these are very pungent kinds of liquids that are much more likely to have an impact and to really penetrate the food that's soaking in them. Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba, Simen Tavkov Yodalid, that Masha Marta, the Kol She'en Lo Kiyuha, Kodem Aliach, Sheina Balea min Adam, Gamze Pashut Delo Amrinon Ella Bidvar Macharifim, Kimelach Vachomet Sukhiyotse Be'elu. Whenever the Gemara discusses Kavush, Rashi always, in the context from Erev Tavshilin, by Marum Vushal, Rashi always jumps up and says, Siro Chomet. So those are the two items that he identifies. Now, it's not clear what Rashi is going to do about the Gemara Pesachim, because the Gemara Pesachim seems like a pretty strong raya that applies to things that are not Tzir v'chometz, so it seems that Rashi holds kavush only applies to sharp liquids, not to milk. However, the Beis Yosef says that divrei Rashi kasu b'shem ritzba near le'anias daiti dvarim shaltam be'ikr v'kachem divrei Rabbeinu. Now, if you actually use tzir, the Rush in Parakalabasar and Simon Memtes, the Rush writes that shiura yohave ki'ilu nasno ala or kedeshi artiach v'yaschil v'ashel, meaning even though we're going to paskin that kavush kumavushal applies to all liquids, not all liquids are created equal. There's still going to be something different, something unique about those liquids that are more pungent, that are more strong. And that's what the Rush writes. That if you're going to talk about seer, if you're going to talk about chometz, you're going to talk about something that has a certain pungency to it, then you're going to say that the shear is ki'ilu nasan ala or kadeh shi'artiach v'yaskul avashal. That whole discussion we had on Monday about 24 hours, 72 hours, 12 hours, that's all moot when you're talking about seer. When you're talking about seer, says the Rush, that would be the amount of time that it takes to put it on a stovetop and cook it. Meaning, kavush and seer is as powerful as fire, which is quite a statement. Shekashir ze nesar kol masha b'tochatzir, upoks mishir ze lo nesar elik de klipa, kedin meliach hareu kuroseach. That once it meets that shear of the amount of time it would take to cook up on the stovetop, then it goes through and through, and it's completely kimavushal, whereas less than that, it's only kedei, it would only be kedei klipa. The Rashba holds that whenever there is kavush, it is mispashit b'kulo kederach shenispashit b'bishol ve'inu nitar b'netilas makom kitzli. The Rashba says that when we say kavush kumavushol, we mean literally kumavushol. It goes through and through. Kedei netila is not going to be good enough. And the Beis Yosef points out that that is definitely what the Torah assumes as well. So apparently, the Rush sees three different tracks of kavush. If you use something sharp and and it happens very quickly. And if you're using something benign, it takes 24 hours. The exact shear of, is that three tracks or two tracks, right? If you're using something sharp, then it would happen very quickly. Kedei she'artiach. No, three tracks, because if you use something sharp, and it happens very quickly, but it only kedei she'artiach. So if you use something sharp, and you did not leave it there, kedei she'artiach, meaning it was only, let's say it takes, just to pick a number, let's say it takes 5 minutes to cook, if you were to turn on the fire, and you had it kavush and sear for 3 minutes, halach is kedei netila. Then you would have to take off kedei netila, right? The kedei klipa, rather, not kedei netila. You'd have to take off kedei klipa. If it was on there for 5 minutes, then the shear is going to be the whole thing. Then the shear is going to be able to work through just like it was mavushal. And then on the third level, if you have milk or water or something like that, then it takes 24 hours. Now, the exact shear of kedei she'yitein ala arvi artiach is not abundantly clear at all. It seems to be subject to some dispute. The Darkei Tshuva over here in Sifkat Membeis quotes from the Tiferes Yisrael in the second parak of Pesachim, Os Mem Dalid, and the Tiferes Yisrael in the tenth parak of Trumos, Os Mem Beis, that it's 18 minutes. Another put this on the list of things that the shear is 18 minutes, that the amount of time it takes to cook, the amount of time that kavush would happen with sear is 18 minutes. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is not sure whether it's measured by how quickly water cooks, or if each food is measured based on its own metzius. Meaning, would you say, well, it depends what I'm cooking over here. If I'm cooking oil, how long does it take oil to heat up? If I'm cooking milk, how long does it take milk to heat up? So maybe it would depend on what it would take to, or forget about the liquid. How long would it take to cook this food in this liquid? And maybe that's the shear of kavush as well, which would mean it varies greatly. In Tshuvas Marsham Chelek Aleph Siman Nun Tes, he says 6 minutes. What this depends on is there an objective shear? And if there is an objective shear, then what object do we look at? Do we look at the easiest thing to cook? Do we look at the average? Or is it a subjective shear where you're going to say each item that kavush is no stronger than fire, but it's also no weaker than fire? So kavush will take however long fire takes to cook an item.
Halacha, do we say that chometz is going to have the same din as tzir within the
Then you have that further machlokas. Is chometz the same thing as tzir? So I think poskim are machmir that chometz is lahalacha, that chometz is tzir. But you look at it, you have this major machlokas rishon whether chometz and they also discuss whether chometz and tzir is the same.
What
tzir is fish brine.
That,
is there such a thing as fish brine? I don't know, I've never been asked to shout about fish, but...
Whatever
locks come in. The locks come in a brine?
Herring.
What? Herring. Whatever herring comes in. I see herring, I run the other way. I gotta check my yichus, I guess. But that's... Oh, you have? You Googled it?
Yeah.
It's a thing, and you could buy it with an OU?
I don't know.
Okay, but it's a product. Okay.
The logic of the rush, when he's machalic, seer and then everything else because of Malicha Kurasifa.
Right.
Which in theory isn't another track of Kabbalah, it's its own.
It's its own thing of Malicha Kurasifa.
So what would be the logic to be Mahmir for Fomets also?
That it is a track of Kabbalah. Meaning that when, because Rashi says it, yeah, Rashi, every time it comes, kavush comes up, Rashi says, chometz or tzir.
Right, but meaning Rashi never says that it's going to have a different, meaning the Rashi is the one who's Mephadish that has a different, meaning it takes shorter.
Rashi always has different din because it's the only thing it applies to. So you could, meaning it's logical.
Rashi onto the rush?
Yeah. Meaning it's logical to say we pass on like the rush that kavush could happen with other things, but we also recognize the metzius that Rashi is recognizing, which is that tzir and chometz have a bigger impact.
Tzir also a problem of Rasita.
Of Meliach Harei Kroseach. Yeah, I think the poskim assume that's what the Rishonim are assuming, right? That's how Tzir works. That's clearly what the Rosh assumed with Pachlus Mikadei Shir when it's Kadei Klipa, similar to Meliach Kroseach. But it, meaning really Meliach Roseach Shalom B'Kedei Klipa, it's just that we're machmir that everything's mefatea b'kula, that that everything, because we have fatty foods and we don't know what exactly is a fatty food, so we're machmir that even those things that should only affect the Kedei Klipa are mefatea b'kula, that they work their way through the entire food. So there is that third level of tzir for less than a shir Kedei Bishel, which really strictly speaking should require Kedei Klipa similar to Meliach Roseach. But it's irrelevant because we're always going to be machmir that it's mifateh bakulo, and therefore when you use tzir for any amount of time, if you ask my first question, okay, when you use tzir for any amount of time, that it would automatically be like using tzir for the shir kedei bishul, okay? So when we get to Basar B'Chalav, we're going to talk about that. But
that would not carry over to this also, even without the bishul aspect?
No, we assume everything's mefapeya b'kulo, not just milk. Meaning, we're machmir that because the davar shamein causes the maliach to sort of open up the food that it's getting into. The if the food is a davar shamein, it's going to allow things to be mefapeya throughout the entire food. We don't know what's called a fatty food, what's called not, so we assume everything. Right, we're machmir. Now Shulchan Aruch in Kufay Seif Aleph over here. So Shulchan Aruch writes that Kavish Betzir O Bechometz Hareu Kimavushol Afim Lo Shah Elikadeshi Denu Al Haor Viartiach Yaschel Vashel. Right. So the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, not just tzir, chometz as well. And the Shach and Sifkat and Beis explains that he's passing like the Rush, that tzir is different than other liquids, and the Mechaber adds chometz in deference to Rashi's recognition that chometz is like tzir. The Shach disagrees, and the Shach says, no, it's not chometz, it's just tzir. Tzir is the only exception. Chometz is not an exception. If you look in Shirei Arav, in the end of Siman Sadi Aleph, Rav Soloveitchik writes, V'nei nagu l'zalev chomer kimi miyuchad al basar shelo nimlach kedei sheyiskayim l'zman meruba. That apparently one of the things in the meat industry to keep the meat fresh is that they pour some kind of chemical on the basar before it's salted in order to preserve it, some sort of preservative. V'osu chomer kimi shoa chaf olam dakos al habasar kodem shumis yabesh. And it sits on the surface of the meat for 20 or 30 minutes before it finally dries up. V'yesh la'ayin im basar zedino kemo basar ha'kavash me'isleis kodem melicha shu asim neshu kavash bedam v'sula mahani be'melicha lo. Ooh, if you learn Hilchos Melicha, there is a halacha that if you have something that is kavash prior to melicha, it is no longer eligible for melicha. So maybe sitting in that chemical for 20 or 30 minutes that's meant as a preservative takes away the possibility of melicha. V'nira dildas ha'mechaber she'chometz dino kitzir yesh la'achmir shari lo yadua be'ezo mashkim chutz mimayim shari lo la'mechaber d'shir ha'kvishav pachz me'esleis. Maybe we should be machmir because it's not only chometz and tzir. If the mechaber is saying tzir, he's saying any very strong liquid. So certainly this chemical, not certainly, but at least possibly, or probably, this chemical is at least as strong as tzir. Aval das ha-shach, the tzir davka, afshal ha-hakel. But according to the shach, that tzir is the one and only exception, so then we could be makel. So that's what Salvage points out, meaning as much as one reads this and you think, okay, this can't be nogei elamaisa, how often do you have things kavush in fish brine or whatever? So Salvage makes a huge nafkamina whether the entire kosher meat industry is allowed to do this process that is apparently done very commonly with meat. I don't know if that's still the case. Rav Soloveitchik has already passed away for close to 30 years. I don't know if that's still the case in the meat industry, nor do I know if Postcom took a stand on that issue. But that was an issue at least at some point. Rav Soloveitchik, of course, was Rav Amachshir of a Shachtais in Boston. That was it caused him a good amount of grief, a good amount of heartache. He used to not give a glatt hashgacha, he gave hashgacha without glatt, and he said it was a miracle because all the hashgachas that were given glatt had a lower incidence of animals that they had to throw out, mishum treifus, than he did, and he was giving a non-glatt hashgacha, and he found more problems with a higher percentage of his animal had problems with the lungs, and he was stunned by that. He wasn't really stunned. He was skeptical about what was going on in the kashrus industry, but he fought for. And you know a little bit about the history of this? It's crazy stuff. He fought for shochtim to not have to work like 36-hour shifts because they were falling apart and they weren't able to function properly, and he thought it was a halachic problem also on multiple levels, not only a bit on the chavira problem. So the owners of the shachtleis really went after him, and they mastered him to the government that he's cheating on his taxes and he's doing this and that. And that was where shachtleis to tell the story that when they the judge at the end of his case, the judge said, I've never seen a more honest person in my entire life. I mean, it's like every penny is accounted for. It's like, it's unbelievable. This is halavai. We should all live up to such a standard. But it caused him a lot of heartache. As kashrus tends to do. That's what happens. That is as far as kavash kumavushal, just in general, what types of liquids. What about kavash kumavushal on kalim? The issue of kavash in kalim is a very common issue, right? You accidentally put away a fleishig item in a clean milcha container and you leave it in your fridge for a couple of days. Or the milk spilled in your fridge and the fleishig pots are sitting right in the milk. So that could be a problem even by makam safek, if you're not sure that it's been 24 hours, because even though safek kavash basar b'chalav is l'kula, Rabbi Kivegra points out that you definitely can't then cook it, because that would be a safek daraisa. Meaning, let's say, I'm not sure if it was kavush, in the kli, so I don't have to assume that, let's say, again, take a pot of chicken soup, right? So milk spilled under it. I don't know if the milk has been there for 24 hours, or the milk has been sitting on the pot on the bottom of the pot for 24 hours, so, okay, I don't have to assume that the chicken soup is treif, I don't have to assume that the milk is treif, I don't have to assume that the pot is treif. Fine, because safek kavush is lekula in basar b'chalav, right? Since by basar b'chalav it's b'ferish gemara m'sachs p'sachim, that kavush is only drabanan. But can you then turn on the fire under such a pot? Meaning now I have a safek whether the milk penetrated into that pot. Now I'm going to turn on the fire, it's going to be bishul basar b'chalav. So that we're going to have to go l'chumra. So it could happen, Afkamina Rukivega points out. You can't cook it because that would be something daraisa. So if a fleshik pot sat on milk for maybe 24 hours, you can't turn on a fire under that pot. It will potentially be, and this is daraisa basa b'chal. So there are two different halachas of kavash kumavushal. As we just said, there's tzir and there's everything else. Or tzir and chometz and everything else. So with tzir, it happens pretty quickly. With everything else, it happens much more slowly. It takes 24 hours. So the Achronim discuss whether kavash kumavushal applies to kalim as well. If something sits in a kli for a long time, do we assume that the blios of the treifa pot are going to ruin the food? Let's take it like that. You have a treifa pot, and you put something in the treifa pot, and it's just sitting in the treifa pot. Is the food going to be usher? So the Yisur V'Hetzer says that kavush k'mavushal can ruin the food, from the kli to the food. The Shach and the Taz point out that if kavush k'mavushal takes 24 hours, l'chor it should not be able to ruin the food. A very pashut araya, because once 24 hours passes, and if you're worried about the blios in the pot, once 24 hours passes, those blios in the pot are no sin tam levgam. So Rashi holds even less than 24 hours. The next day, it's already no sin tam levgam, neshitas Rashi. So it's always going to be no sin tam levgam. So you're never going to have an issue of kavash kumavushal from a treifa pot giving tam into kosher food. So Rabbi Yonis Neipschitz points out in the Placey that not necessarily so. That it could be that you do have a problem with kavash kumavushal. What about no sin tam levgam? So no sin tam levgam is that you have a pot that already has tam pogum in the dofnei akli. And then the tam transfers into your food. That's nosi tam levgam, not tumutir. But what if, before the tam becomes pogum, the transfer starts? And it's downloaded, right? It's got the, whatever, I don't know what symbols they have on the computer now for download. It used to be an hourglass or whatever, right? You're waiting for it to process. But but by the time it's finished, at that point, it's going to be, at that point, when it's finished, it's going to be pogum. So Rabbi Yonis Neipschitz thinks or suggests that there is tam that begins to transfer right away. Why doesn't it asa right away? Because kavush kumavushal takes 24 hours means it takes 24 hours till the time is transferred enough to make a halachic impact. But there's no way that there's nothing that happens for 23 hours, 59 minutes, and then comes that next minute and boom, all of the time goes from the pot to the... It can't be, right? That's not the way reality works. Obviously, it's this slow process of a very kalush time, a very weak time, transferring very slowly, and it takes 24 hours till that time becomes strong enough to be something. So really, 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 if it's happening over the 24-hour time period, the majority of that time that transferred in is not tam pagum. Only that last little bit in that last minute was tam pagum. That's how Rabbi Yonasan Eibshter says. So the heter nosin tam lefgam is only when all of the time comes out lefgam. But when the kavush happens, the first 23 hours and 59 minutes of the time are l'shvach, so it would be asur. Now, if you're talking about sir chometz, then it will be a much bigger problem even according to the shach and the taz, right? If it's sir chometz, then it doesn't take till nosin tam lefgam. Just one more thing. In the other direction, if milk is kept in a container for the 24 hours, so prim gadim in Simon Pei Zayin, Sivkat and Aleph, says that the container becomes milchik. And if you then cook meat in that container, it's Asr Bahana. So Shari Tshuva, which is referred to by the Pisklei Tshuva in here in Sivkat and Aleph, also says the same. However, the Chavos Das is Mekel, and it says that the Taz is also Mekel on that issue. So if you have milk that's sitting in a container for 24 hours, so it's only a kli. The question is, does that become... Now, the milk doesn't become tam pagum, right? The milk doesn't become pagum. The milk is... It's a food. It's not dofnei a kli. So the milk can make the container, a milch container, just by sitting in that container for that amount of time. Questions or comments?
Within the place
seat, yeah.
Being, part of the nos tam gam sagir is that
meaning whatever tam kalush it is, it's pugum to that extent.
Yeah,
also
saying that it's kavush slowly until it makes a halachic impact, but no tam gam is following that same trajectory.
You're assuming it's making it following the same trajectory.
Yeah, meaning
maybe not.
Meaning, because it's hard to say that it's fully good tam that tastes great until,
right, but it could be that the pace is on different tracks. I don't know.
For the plate seat, you still only have 99%. You can't even start that 24th hour or whatever it is, so you don't have enough. So I get that we don't discount the whole downloading process, but you don't have the completion.
So he's saying that, Adrabi, he's saying that Nosin Tam Lefgam is only a heter when it's Kula Lefgam. Meaning, it sounds like if any, it's not even based on rov. Meaning, if any of it is not lefgam, those tam lefgam is a big kula. So only when it's kula lefgam is it going to be a problem. Maybe. Okay, one more thing about kavush.
According to the place, he had to have a shear of tam from the never mind, Rabbi Yisrael.
Okay. Yeah, you would think so. And because there's no other shear, where do we go? 72 hours? Although, l'chara, right? Meaning that was about Caleb, right?
Well, you might say that, meaning the Marshal, we pass like the sheet, but the Marshal says, later on in the sentence, says that if you have a klisheni pot, you can asser food that's inside it, even though it can't asser food. Meaning if there are two foods, it can't. It's not hot enough to combine those two. If there's one food and a mutter food and a klisheni pot that can, like, that.
You talking about the Davar Gush, Marshal?
No, it wasn't the Davar Gush. Meaning, but there was saying that the pot dafka can interact with the food
more effectively than the food can interact with the food.
The pot's more.
Yeah, but it defies logic, no? If it's hot, over here we're talking about something that's cold. Right? This kavush kumavushal. So over there you're talking about that the klisheni still has, still retains some heat.
Right.
But over here, we're not talking heat. We're talking about cold.
The taz, maybe when you're pronounced, we have there is mechalik between klisharis and klayit, and then the taz, which is that we met the first one's a lot more porous.
Right. So if it's more porous, it would be more similar to a food. A food, by definition, is porous. Right. So maybe that same, yeah. But how many degradations are there going to be? We have to figure that out. One last thing about Kavush, and the Darkei Moshe and Os Aleph over here writes that Od Kasu Bisav Ehetu Chaticha Shenafla Mektsasa Lechalav Mektsasa Chutz Lechalav Masha B'Toch Chasar Masha B'Chutz Mutter or Chelav Dein Chelav Mfapeh Lemaila B'Tzoni Ubagol Sham B'Shem Maharish Dekula Osir Dekavush Kavushul Nespasha Shapar B'Kula Afilo Yidei Tzoni Ad Kan Lashono. So he quotes two deos. If you have something that's Kavush partially and there's part that's sticking out above the liquid, so what about the part that's sticking out above the liquid? Is that also kavush? So in the Ramah, he doesn't give the two opinions equal weight. In Darkei Moshe, he just quotes two opinions. But in the Ramah, he quotes the Maharish, who's Machmir as the Stam, and the Yisav Heter as Yesh Mekilin, which makes it sound like he's more noted to be Machmir. And the Shach points out that the implication of the Ramah in the Torah's Chatos is really to be Mekil. So in Darkei Moshe, he's right down the middle, right? In the Torah's Chatos, he's much more noted to be Mekil. In the Ramah, it sounds like he's more noted to be Machmir. I don't know, never ever comes up. I've never been asked this question, but in Lechora, all of this is moot, because if it's a Davar Shamein, then we always assume it's Mefapeh Abakula, and we don't know what a Davar Shamein is, so we assume everything is a Davar Shamein, so the whole point is a moot point anyway. The Shach raises four problems with this. He says, first of all, the Ramah should not have even brought the Shita that's Mekel, considering that it's never operative, meaning the Ramah is the one that's Machmir about a Davar Shamein. So why would you even mention the Yesh Mekilin if everything is a Davar Shamein? Second, he points out, the Ramah and Taras Chatas certainly should not have passed like the Shita that it's Mutter, right? Because he's the Ramah. He's supposed to say Davar Shamein Mefapeh Abakulo. And third, in Simen Ayin, he writes that Basar Shenafel Letzir, Masha Chutz Letzir is Mutter. So that's also a problem. And finally, in Isser Veheter Aruch is also not mechalik between Kachush and Shamin, and yet he's matir that which is chutz l'kvisha. So all of that leads the Shach to conclude the following: L'chein nira, di aval gav de lo mechalkinon ben Kachush l'Shamin, haynu b'malicha v'tzliya v'kiagavna, aval kulei hay lo nachmir. That's what he suggests, that the fact that we're not mechalik between Kachush and Shamin, which means that we treat everything like a Davar Shamein, that's by Meliach Krosech. That's by Tzli. But by Kavush, we're not going to be so machmir to treat everything like a Davar Shamein, and that's why the Ramah leaves open the possibility of being Mekil when it's Kavush. So again, Miktsaso Kavush, two deos in Rishonim. In the three different places where the Ramah brings these two deos, he gives you three different impressions. In Darkei Moshe, he's right down the middle. In Taras Chatas, he's Nota Lahakel. In Ramah, it sounds like he's Nota Lahachmir. The Shach says, I don't get why any of this matters. Of course it's a Davar Shamein, because everything's a Davar Shamein, and Davar Shamein is a Fateh B'Kula. Why is the Ramah even talking about this? And the Shach says, Elamai, it must be that the assumption that we make that everything is Davar Shamein is not Nogeya to Kavush K'mavushal. Okay, I don't know how many Kavush K'mavushal Shailas you're going to get in your lifetime, but let's get on to, yeah? Yeah, Enochinami, right, Enochinami. I gave you tziurim that would make it lemaisa. But, again, you don't often, I don't know. I don't recall ever being asked. I could imagine such a case, but I don't recall ever being asked. Maybe people don't even know to ask. Maybe they just assume you wipe off the bottom and everything's fine. Could be. What? Right, you'd have to have a tzir where it's where you're away for the weekend, and you came back and there was a blackout. Right, we had a family in our community. They left for Shabbos and they came back. Their house was gone, like the house burnt down, like meaning like suddenly something happens and something like that. A blackout is much easier to miss, and it'll go 24 hours, and the house burns down again. I remember the day I got engaged, before I went out with my wife, I was hanging out with my friend David Rossman, who's now running Eshet Torah, and and his parents had a super fancy fish tank with like really expensive fish, no chilazos, which, by the way, the number one comment I'm getting after the Tcheles program is everyone wants a chilazon. Everyone's jealous of me that I have chilazos, so I only have three extras. I can't give to everybody, but But maybe they'll make babies. I don't know. The guy I got it from sent me a picture of his baby chilazos. He's actually breeding them. But I don't have that kind of time. I don't know what he does. I don't know how he does it. So that morning, so David was supposed to help me out with whatever I was planning, whatever. And he came home. When his parents were away, he came home, blackout. All the fish were doing the backflip. Like, these were like $1,000 fish that were just so that changed the plans drastically. You know, because so sometimes you go away, there's a blackout, and the next thing you know, everything is story of no relevance to anything. Yeah.
How do we pass the mice if you put milchiks in a flacious container for 24 hours?
If you put milchiks in a flacious container for 24 hours, so most of the time when you get these shilas, it's a plastic container. I don't know, what would you tell you? Yeah, I mean, generally, I've never been asked the shayla, I'd be machmir, I think. Yeah, or something liquidy, that's a discussion also. You know, how liquidy, you know, it has to be. But something, you know, in a gravy or something like that, for sure. Even so, you know, congealed liquid is, I think, liquidy enough that I would think is problematic. I would probably tell them to throw it out.
It ruins the container also, or just the food?
I would think it ruins the container for sure. Because the container is going to be even lechachila using it next time, and the food at least is a b'di'evet. Right? Yeah, I would probably be machmir on that. Again, I don't remember if I was ever asked that question, and that might be one of the reasons I'd be machmir. Like, sometimes you have to use things as a teachable moment, you know, that there is such a thing called kavish, so you have to know that this is a shayla. We'll never remember that it was a shayla if it was mutter. If it was us, we'd have to throw it out. Ooh, that was a shayla. Okay. Now we'll move on to the discussion of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Iri Kli Rishon, Davar Gush. And this might take a little while because we sort of have to chazer Sim Shin Yuches. We have to chazer a little bit Hilchos Shabbos. I'm assuming at some point in your lives you came across a little bit of Hilchos Shabbos, but I'm assuming that. But in there are going to be no assumptions in terms of you know what we present. We normally need, in order to create blios, you need heat. Tzonin b'tzonin is ba'adacha. If two cold things touch each other, there are no blios to transfer. Of course, there are exceptions. Kavish k'mevushal m'liach rosayach. Duchad esakina and davar charif. Okay, there are exceptions. But generally speaking, you need heat in order for blios to transfer. So the basic chakira is, how closely connected, if at all, are the klalim of bishul and the klalim of blios? Meaning, if something is not defined as bishul from a Hilchos Shabbos perspective, do we therefore say that the heat intensity is not great enough to create blios? Or do you say, no, bishul luchud, blios luchud? That you can have something that may not be bishul, but still it's going to impact blios. Might you even have the opposite? Something that will be bishul from a Hilchos Shabbos perspective, but it's not going to be an intense enough heat to promote blios. That's unlikely. We'll have to see if such a thing exists. But certainly in the opposite direction, right? You might have something that's not bishul. There happens to be a din of a klisheni that's sayin mevashel and Shabbos. But really, a klisheni is not going to transfer any blios? Is that, meaning a Hilchos Shabbos, you can tell me there's a geder of what's called bishul on Shabbos, of what's bishul d'oraisa. Remember, kli rishon, kli sheni, all that is probably a discussion on a d'oraisa level. The dinim d'rabbanan of bishul is separate. That's Rishon and Gimel. But in Shin Yurches, we're talking about bishul on a d'oraisa level. So it could be by blios, it's more of a metzius, it's not a halachic geder, it's more of a metzius of whether there's enough heat, there's sufficient heat, to transfer tam. So if bishul is necessary for blios to happen, then you have to define what bishul is, which is best done by learning some Shin Yurches. The Shach over here has a long discussion of the dinim of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Iroi, and he says in his long discussion that he's being mekatzer, and that he has a longer discussion in the Shach Aruch, and in fact he does, in the Shach Aruch, which is printed at the back of the tour, you'll find a very, very long discussion of these topics, but the better way, instead of learning through how the Shach goes through the whole discussion, to go back to the basics of Hilchos Shabbos. There is a Mishnah Masechet Shabbos Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us you're not allowed to put spices in a Yad Soledespo pot that was just removed from the fire. Meaning, Kli rishon shelo al gabei eish. You have a pot of chicken soup, you take it off the fire, you can't put spices in it because it's going, raw spices, because it's going to cook the spices. That seems to be an isur d'oraisa of bishul betoldos ha'or. The Shulchan Aruch in Shimon Yerches Si'if Tes paskins directly like that Mishnah, that you're not allowed to put spices in a kli rishon shelo al gabei eish. Now additionally, the Mishnah tells us that foods that were not cooked before Shabbos, you are allowed to rinse off on Shabbos with hot water, unless it's tiny little fish. Tiny little fish, you're not even allowed to rinse off with hot water on Shabbos if they were raw, because small fish are so easily cooked that even rinsing them in hot water will cook them. That is what the Mishnah says. There is a Machlok Rishonim, what that line of the Mishnah means. The Rashbam is of the opinion that you're allowed to pour hot water directly from a Kli Rishon onto a raw food on Shabbos, unless that raw food is tiny little fish. Because Iroi, pouring from a Kli Rishon, which we'll get into more detail later, cannot cook. It doesn't have the capacity to cook when you're pouring boiling water out of the Kli Rishon, even direct hit onto other food. It doesn't have the ability to cook unless it's tiny fish, because tiny fish are Kalei Avishal. They are very, very easily cooked. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with his big brother, right? Rabbeinu Tam was the younger brother? Am I right about that? Yeah. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Right, the Rashbam is the one that said that he learned with Rashi. Right, that's the Rashbam and Chumash said that he got a chance to learn with Rashi. So Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with his brother and says that Iroi from a Kli Rishon can cook any type of food up until a Kedei Klipa. And again, we'll discuss the Rayas of why that would be the case, the Rayas for, Rayas against. We'll get to it. These are just the basics. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you're only allowed to pour hot liquid from a Kli Sheni onto raw food, but not from a Kli Rishon, except for small fish, which if you cook, if you pour from a Kli Rishon, it will be mvashalit entirely. It's not only just going to be a Kedei Klipa. I'm sorry, except for small fish, where even pouring from a Kli Sheni is going to be a problem. Meaning that Rabbeinu Tam is going to say, when the Mishnah says that you're allowed to pour hot water onto raw food, it must not mean from a Kli Rishon, it must mean from a Kli Sheni, because Iroi from a Kli Rishon does have the capacity to be Mevashel. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So Iroi from a Kli Sheni does not have the capacity to be Mevashel. So Iroi from a Kli Sheni is what the Mishnah was talking about. And even Iroi from a Kli Sheni has the ability to cook tiny little fish.
Standpoint, right? What happens between that?
Oh, so we'll get to that. What changes when something goes into a cliche? It's boiling hot.
This is hot.
Yeah, okay, we'll get to it in a second. Now, in Shin Yud Chesiv Dalid, Shulchan Aruch Paskins like that last part of the Mishnah as well, that any foods that were not cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to rinse with hot water on Shabbos. And the Mishnah Brura over there in Sifkan Lamed Hei says that Shulchan Aruch is talking about rinsing from a klisheni, meaning like Rabbeinu Tam, that Iroi from a Kli Rishon is going to be a problem. It's going to be able to cook somewhat at least, but pouring from a Kli Sheni, that's going to be totally mutter. From a Kli Rishon will be mevashel any food up until the Kedei Klipa, even non-Kalei Abishal, and the Shulchan Aruch passes that way in Shin Yilches Si'if Yud. Now, the Sugya is Shabbos Dav Mem, where the Gemara talks about Bishal B'Shabbos, and the Gemara says explicitly, Kli Sheni eino mevashel, that there is no Bishal in a Kli Sheni. So what do we have so far? Kli Rishon, of course, is Mevashel. It's even Mevashel Mida Oraisa L'chora. L'chora, even a Kli Rishon, Shelo Al Gabei Eish, the Mishnah said Beferish, is Mevashel. Iroi Kli Rishon, the Mishnah said something about it, or seemed to say something about it. Machlokas Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, was the Mishnah talking about Iroi Kli Rishon when the Mishnah said that Iroi is also Mevashel? What about Kli Sheni? Black on white in the Gemara, Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashel, lacks the capacity to cook. The question is whether the Isser of Bishul in a Kli Rishon in the first place is an Isser D'Oraisa D'Rabbanan, and why it would be an Isser D'Rabbanan or an Isser D'Oraisa. So the Gemara seems to be saying that if I have like a scalding bowl of soup, it's not going to cook raw food. Mehechitesi, right? Mehechitesi, exactly your question, that it's not going to cook the food. It's boiling hot. It seems to defy the Metzius. So there are a couple of mahalchim that one can take in terms of why a Kli Sheni, what's the magic of Kli Sheni? That, you know, it's piping hot and doesn't have the ability to be mevashel. So in order to answer that, sometimes it's best to go back to the basics. Why is a Kli Rishon? Yes, Mevashel. So in order, the Kli Rishon, we just kept calling it a Kli Rishon, but really there are two subcategories of Kli Rishon. There's Kli Rishon Al Gabe Eish and Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Eish. Right? When it's Al Gabe Eish, there is no doubt. Right? If you take raw food and you put it in Kli Rishon Al Gabe Eish, that is when you look up the definition in the dictionary or the Jewish encyclopedia or I don't know, wherever you would look up the definition of Bishel, you would see a picture of a guy sticking food in a Kli Rishon Shal Gabe Eish. If you look in Rabbi Chait's Lama Tes Melachos book, I would bet on Bishel, he has a picture of a guy sticking food in a Kli Rishon Shal Gabe Eish, or a woman sticking food in a Kli Rishon Shal Gabe Eish. That is textbook definition of Bishel Daraisa. There is a discussion, though, whether Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Eish is Bishel Daraisa. I take the cholent off of the stove, or the soup off of the stove, and then I put something raw in it. So there's Yerushalmi that seems to indicate that it's only Bishel Midrabanan, which would tell me that you need an actual fire for Bishel to happen, meaning that there's a halachic requirement in order to make Bishel happen that there be a fire present. Similar to Bishul B'chama. Just like Bishul B'chama is not Bishul on a Daraisa level, so too, Bishul without a fire is not going to be Bishul on a Daraisa level. Bishul B'chama is not Bishul on a Darabana level either, but Bishul told us Chama is a Bishul on a Darabana level. Bishul B'chama is totally mutter. How is Bishul B'chama totally mutter? You ever been to Phoenix in July? You could definitely cook things quite well. I was once in Phoenix in June, and I remember hearing on the news, as my wife and I were driving in the car, this was 2002, we heard on the news that by 11 o'clock at night it will cool off to 92 degrees. it was crazy. I felt like I might just combust at some point just walking down the street. And so you could definitely cook things in the heat of whether it be the sun. Certainly toldos chama, which is not bishul on a daraisa level, but toldos chama you could for sure fry an egg if you were stupid enough to have a black car in Phoenix. You could certainly fry an egg in a frying pan on the surface of the car, right? So why isn't it? Because it's part of the geder of Bishul, is that you need Eish, and without an Eish, there is no Bishul. If that were the case, I understand very well why cliche is Eino Mevashel, because it's nothing to do with Metzias. The dinim of Bishul B'Shabbos are a function of gedarim, of what's called the Malacha of Bishul. And the Malacha of Bishul, Alts Malacha, requires an Eish. So cliche is so far removed from the fire that even Midrabanan, we're going to say that it's Eino Mevashel. Meaning, again, if you're going to assume that Bishul of in a Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Eish is only Midrabanan, because there's no Eish there, so to go two steps removed from the Daraisa when it's a Kli Sheni, even the Rabbanan aren't going to say it's a Mevashel. The problem is that it's not clear that that's true, that Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Eish is Darabanan. It's not clear that the Yerushalmi is even saying that Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Eish is Darabanan. Even if the Yerushalmi is saying it, it's not clear that the Bavli agrees. But it's not even clear that the Yerushalmi is saying it. The lashon of the Yerushalmi is asu harchaka lekli rishon velo asu harchaka lekli sheni. Oh, so some of the Rishonim say asu harchaka lekli rishon. That makes it sound like a kli rishon is only a harchaka. It's only a din on a drabana level. But that might not mean that the entire din of kli rishon shel agabe eish is drabana. It could be that in order for a kli rishon to cook, it has to be yatzaledes bo. If the water is cooler than Yatzalad, right? One thing that we know is like Davar Pashut and all of Hilchos Shabbos is that something that's not Yatzalad Zbo doesn't have the ability to cook. Right? If it's below Yatzalad Zbo, forget it. I don't care what it's in. It's not going to be able to cook. I remember when we got a new oven in our kitchen. So my wife discovered that if you leave the lights on in the oven, just the lights, not the fire, you leave the lights on in the oven, it's hot enough to warm up food. So the shaila was, can we put food in the oven on Shabbos to warm up? Just with the lights on in the oven. It did a great job of warming up the food. It didn't involve turning on the oven. There was nothing that changed when you opened the door because the lights were on the whole time. So is that okay? So I asked my wife, is it Yatzaledes? She says, no, it's somewhere near Yatzaledes, but it does a great job warming up the food. So it's got to be mutter. She said, it can't be mutter. You got to ask for Shechter. Okay, so I asked for Shechter, and he said, it's not Yatzaledes, mutter. What are you talking about? It's like, well, what kind of stupid question? I'm like, I know, but you know, she made me ask. I don't know. So it's totally mutter if it's not Yatzaledes. So for like months, we were warming up food in the oven with the lights on, and then once I took out the food, and I touched the thing, and it was like, it was boiling hot. I was like, that's definitely Yamsaledas. She said, what are you talking about? She sticks her hand on it, her face. Like, it's like, women are just made of different stuff. Like, she didn't feel any pain. She's like, it's a superpower or something, but I wasn't convinced that it wasn't Yatzaleda, so we stopped doing that. So we moved to different ways of warming food, but not for now. What those ways are, anyway. So the if it's not Yatzaleda, then there's nothing to talk about. Luchora, right? So if it's not Yatzaleda, but doesn't have the ability to be Vashal at all. However, it could be that the Yerushalmi is telling us that Asu Archaka Bekli Rishon means that Midrabanon. If it's a kli rishon, they made a harchaka that even when it's less than yatzaledes, if it still has warmth, it's going to be aser. Meaning that a really hot kli rishon shelo al gabe eish is bishul daraisa. When the Yerushalmi says asu harchaka the kli rishon, it means even when it's below yatzaledes, we're going to make it a sidrabanan. Maybe that's what the Yerushalmi means. So first of all, not all the Rishonim are even convinced that the Yerushalmi says such a thing, that a Kli Rishon Shalo Al Gabe Eish is a Din Drabanan. Could be a Kli Rishon Shalo Al Gabe Eish is a Din Doraisa. And the only thing that the Yerushalmi was downplaying was when it's below Yatzaledes. There is another Yerushalmi that says the Ein Lecha Bishul Barur Elik She Eish Halechas Tachtav. That Bishul Barur, I mean real Bishul, only happens when there's Eish. Which means, l'chor, that bishul daraisa is only when there is a fire. However, the Gras says that's not what that Yerushalmi means either. It's just saying that the only time you have real bishul is when there was once a fire under the pot, as opposed to Tolda Sacham never had any fire, and therefore it's not going to be bishul on a daraisa level. But it doesn't have to presently be under the pot for bishul. The Rambam, when he quotes Dine Bishul B'Shabbos, so the dinim of Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Eish are in like Perek Chav Aleph Chav Beis of Hilchos Shabbos. That's where he puts all the dinim Drabanan of Hilchos Shabbos, not the dinim Daraisa of Hilchos Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan points out, the Rambam must learn the Yerushalmi to be saying that there's a difference between Al Gabe Eish and Shelo Al Gabe Eish. And that the Yerushalmi is saying that Shlal Gadeish is only a Dimmi Drabbanon, it's only Bishul on a Drabbanon level. So again, why are we mentioning all this? Because if you hold the Kli Rishon Shlal Gadeish, even with all of its intensity of heat, is only a Drabbanon, then you could very easily explain what the Lamdus is by Kli Sheni not being Mavashal. I know it's hot, I know it's boiling, I know it's very impactful, it's going to burn you. You know, they tell the story, I think, when Reb Chaim was when the Brisker Rav was a little boy, where he was eating soup on Shabbos, and he said, the soup is so, it's boiling hot. And Reb Chaim slapped him, and he says, klishlishi doesn't make boiling. So it's you could say, no, I understand. I understand that it for sure is hot, it is boiling, but it's irrelevant. The Geder in Hilchos Shabbos is just that it's going to be there. It's not going to be Bishul. The Ran in Masechet Shabbos, however, thinks that the Bavli disagrees with Yerushalmi anyway. And there are two passages in Bavli that indicate that the Bavli disagrees with Yerushalmi. First of all, there's a Mishnah that tells us that, like we just, the Mishnah we said before, that the fish, the little fish, the Kaleya Bishul, can get cooked even in a Klisheni, and that implies that it's even Nisar Bishul Midar Raisa. That would clearly indicate a Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Eish, meaning if even an Iroi Kli Sheni or an Iroi Kli Rishon or whatever is able to be Mevashel, the Dagan Ketanim, so for sure Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabe Eish. Also, in the sugya in the beginning of Perek Kol HaBasar, where the Gemara wanted to come up with a case where of a potential Isser Daraisa when it's Ala Shulchan, when it's by the table, when it's Dagim Shalo B'Ka'ara, and it's Mamish on the table, Gemara thought to say that if you don't have a potential Isser Daraisa, then there would be no Isser to have meat and cheese at the same table to be Mala, Basar, and Gvina Ala Shulchan. So the Gemara finally says, Elamai, how could there be a potential Isser Daraisa at the table? What did the Gemara say? That you have the pot at the table, that you have the Kli Rishon by the table. So the Gemara wanted to come up with the case of how you could possibly have a potential Bishul Daraisa, and it says that the Kli Rishon is at the table. What do you mean the Kli Rishon is at the table? Al Gabe Eish? Probably not. Probably means the Kli Rishon was taken off of the Yeshan, it's at the table. And now there's a potential risk of a Daraisa, and that's why Gvina cannot be on the Shulchan with Basar, because of a Cheshash, it might lead to a Daraisa. But it's not a Gabe Esh, unless you say it's like in those restaurants, you know, when they come out and things are sparkling and fire and whatever, you know, they... But I don't think they had such shtick back then. I mean, they didn't learn from... you know, they don't know these. I just got a shiloh the other day. Someone asked, they were planning a fundraiser on the night of on Nittelnacht. They were planning a fundraising party where they were going to have special food or whatever. And they said they then realized that it's a fast day, that the next day is a fast day. It's a Sar B'Teves. So, are you allowed to have a fundraiser on the night before a party on the night before a fasting, but it's for a good cause, for a tzedakah, whatever it's for. He said, by the way, we already booked the ticket for the chef that we're flying in from Paris to cook at the fundraising. It's like, wow, that is, you know, like, I don't know. there's a certain level of gashmius that we never would have even, like, you know, like try to explain to like your cousins in Eretz Yisrael, you know, like try to even explain what that means. That someone, okay, but anyway, but that's how we raise money for tzedakah, by blowing half of it on the chef in Paris. So that's one mahalich. What is the din about a klisheni? Based on this Yerushalmi, if you think the Yerushalmi is saying it, and B, if you think that we pass like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli, or you think the Bavli doesn't argue in the Yerushalmi, so then you could say, okay, there's a special din of Eish. Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Mem suggests something different. He says cliche is not mevashel even when it's very hot, because of the decline in temperature happening so precipitously. The dofne klisheni are cooler, and they'll cool off the hot soup that you put into it. So he says lefisha kli rishon mitoch sha'amad al or dofnosuf chamin umachzik chomol zman meruba. It's not about the temperature of the heat, but the intensity of the heat. And since a kli rishon has warm walls, it's not heading in a decline as quickly as something in a kli sheni, where the dofne kli are cooling off the food. And then there's a third approach to explain why klisheni is erev vashel. It could be that it's simply not kederach bishul, so it lacks a sense of malachas machsheves. So also not a metzius, but a technicality in Hilchos Shabbos, that it's a lack of malachas machsheves. Obviously, it only makes sense to say that klisheni is a din that carries over to Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, I mean, and Taroves, if you're going to say that it's not something unique to Hilchos Shabbos, that it's not a Melech Machsheves thing, and it's not about a requirement of Eish. No, it's about Belios, it's about the intensity of the heat. So only Tosfos' explanation really is going to work out if we're going to want to connect this back to Hilchos Taroves. So we'll pick up with that tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with the application toward Hilchos Taroves. Then we'll go a little bit deeper into the details of Kli Sheni, Iri Kli Rishon, and the like. So Bez Hashem, we'll start with that tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. If you have ideas of Talmid Chacham that I can reach out to,